Hello and welcome to this episode of Passionate About People, the podcast where we try and get an understanding for what may well become the new normal post-COVID-19. I'm Phil Dave, a broadcaster who works in, amongst other things, primarily in mental health and well-being.
I'm Graham Godfrey and I'm a coach, life business coach. A lot of people label me as a mindset coach and my company is Passionate About Business. It's very, very important for me to know that you love what you do.
James Rose, my company is CX People, which is all about communicating excellence. And we focus on helping businesses and the staff within those businesses perform to the best of their ability, whether that's with customers or internally with each other.
Excellent stuff. Well, the three of us are going to try and carry on as we have done in the previous two episodes. So if you haven't heard those already, do feel free to download them and have a listen. We're going to try and get our heads around what may become the new normal when we slowly but surely work towards getting back to everyday business life in whatever form that may take. That, of course, may be that people continue to work from home, or it may be that they actually have to start making their way back to the office, which, of course, a lot of people have started doing now. And I guess, Graham, the first question has got to be is about getting in that mindset, really, how we get our minds thinking towards adjusting once more to what used to be normality for some, but maybe is going to become a whole new normal for others.
Yeah, it's this phrase, the new normal. Every time I say the new normal, I sort of feel I just want to go back to the old normal. There's a lot of fear. We have a lot of fear. Today, I had my first shopping trip to Marks and Spencer's, gloves on, masks on, and it just felt weird. And you're looking around at people thinking, am I going to catch something from them? Are they okay? Are they 6 feet away from me? And this is just going on a small shopping trip. So I think what we've got to work on is overcoming our fear of catching coronavirus, our fear of taking too many risks. And we've got to start thinking about how we can get back to how we were. I mean, I thoroughly believe, I've spoken to a lot of people, we sort of seem to talk about these days, but most of the people that I speak to, they just want to get back to how it was. And I think that there's a real need from everybody to go back and to be normal and to live their lives the way they did before. I think everybody wants that. It's just how long it's going to take and what we're going to have to go through to get there.
But you see, here's my problem. When you say that people are hankering to get back to the old normal, I really worry that those people are just going to be left bitterly disappointed. And I might include myself in that as well, because I, like so many, have been really hoping to get back to what we used to call normality. But the awful truth is that this could change the way that we all work forever. And I know that sounds a bit dramatic, but it's something we may have to get our heads around.
I think we all worry, and through that worry, we tend to focus on the things that are going to go wrong and the things that aren't going to turn out right for us in the future. And that could be our jobs, that could be our relationships, it could be a number of different things. But in order to fix it, we need to focus on what we want and not focus on what we don't want. And I think if we can focus on just a few small areas of what we want and how we would like things to change, then we can start moving forward.
See, I don't know about you, James, but I'm absolutely determined not to let this get the better of me. And it's really easy to say that because I'm sitting in the comfort of my own home and I've not gone out. I'm sitting in front of my machine, happily working away here. And I could very easily say right here, right now, I'm not going to let this get the better of me. But who knows how I'm going to react when I end up going on, say, the underground again, whenever that will be. I think it's very easy to say that you're not going to let something change you. But inevitably, this has probably changed all of us, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And like Graham and myself, you are your own boss. So you make the rules, which means that if you decide to go on the tube, it has been your decision. And if you decide to have a meeting virtually rather than face-to-face, it's your decision. I think the challenge for an awful lot of employees of businesses is that they are beholden to their managers and to the company and what the boss or the company dictates. So put yourself in the shoes of a standard, you know, worker, a standard employee. perhaps who's been furloughed, working from home, etc., and is now going to have to go back to some sort of new normal, whatever that looks like for, in their world. Well, actually, a lot of their fears come from the fact that they have felt reassured and confident and comfortable within their own space, like you just outlined, Phil, you know, working from home, etc. And suddenly they're expected to go back to an environment, let's call that the office in the center of the city, which requires them to get on public transport. And like Graham was saying, perhaps walk through shopping centers. I had to take my wife to the hospital for a checkup the other day, and I would say only 20% of the staff there were wearing gloves and face coverings. And it shocked me. So like you, Phil, if I have to get back on the train, I'm going to be worried about that. And if I'm told I have to do those things, I'm going to be even more worried about it. So if we think about this from a manager and business owner perspective, what are some of the steps that really should be being taken right now? Of course, we all know about the, you know, the hand sanitizers at the entrance. It's the regular hand washing. It's the social distancing within the buildings. I mean, these are very tangible, practical steps that can be taken. What's less obvious are these more emotional and mental misgivings that staff will have and may not want to show for fear of not looking positive about the future and so on, but will be thinking, well, if I go back to work, will I bring something back into my household? If I go back to work, will I get ill? If I go back to work, am I going to have to decline certain business meetings? And all of these things, because we are at home and we do have time to mull them over, start to become bigger and more negative in our minds. So as managers, our job is to listen, essentially, talk and listen and find out what's going on for our staff and do that on an individual, not team basis, because we can't make sweeping assumptions for each of our staff members and what we can do to support them emotionally and mentally as they start to come back and transition back to work. And that includes understanding of their position, even if it's not something we feel or understand for ourselves. So empathy becomes, and it always has been, but it becomes even more of an important skill set for managers to have. That emotional intelligence, that empathy, being able to put yourself in your staff member's shoes, listen to what they're saying and how they're saying it to understand what they're going through without judgment, and then act according to what they need from you to make their lives, their world, their mental and emotional stability that much better.
It's funny, it sounds so simple when you say it like that, but of course that comes with many complications. And really, a skill set that a lot of managers, I would have thought, have not necessarily had to demonstrate to date. You know, there's going to be an awful lot of new thinking that has to go on whilst looking after oneself as well. Let's not forget, it's not just a simple case of saying, okay, right, well, this is what I was doing as a manager. This is what I'm going to do moving forward as a manager. But actually, I need to think of what I am going to do as an employee, as someone who is doing a job that other people rely on and that customers and clients will turn to me for whatever service I may provide. Whilst doing all of that, you've got the minefield of how I'm going to look after those around me as well. It really seems quite overwhelming at times.
I've had some amazing conversations this week with some business owners. So we're sort of, you know, over 2 months in from lockdown, and we've had the initial panic, we've had the government intervention, and we've now got the sort of reduction in lockdown, and we can start to move closer to going back to some sort of normality. But some of the business owners I've spoken to have had some incredible experiences over the last couple of months. And some of the conversations we were having were, look, forget about the losses. Let's talk about the opportunities. How can we turn this into an opportunity? As difficult as that sounds, we've got to think like that. And I've had some business owners that have changed in the last couple of months. They've changed the whole strategic plan of their business. Some are deciding no longer to have the offices that they've got and to use smaller offices and to mix in with home working and working in the office. And a lot of them have stood back and thought, you know what? I've really found this to be quite an incredible experience in that it's the first time in my life I've actually stopped and taken a step back. And I think we're all doing that. I think we're all taking a step back and looking at our own lives and making decisions about how we want to live in the future. Now, just doing that and analyzing yourself can allow you to stop worrying, because when you start focusing on giving and what you can do for others, rather than just focusing on all your own worries and thinking about yourself, your mind starts to expand and you can start thinking about how you're going to get through this in the best possible way and how you can help others to do it. If you own a business, you're in a perfect position to do that. And if you're an employee, it gives you an opportunity to decide whether you still want to do what you're doing, because it's been a very, very difficult time. But now we are seeing lots and lots of opportunities and people are moving forward in different directions. Even I've started a new business and looked at new opportunities and they are thriving.
Do you think there's a danger, and I'm really not being flippant here or playing devil's advocate, I'm being deadly serious. Do you think there is a danger that all of us could end up overthinking this?
When we get worried, and myself included, I'm no guru, you know, when we focus on worry and we focus on everything that's wrong, then we tend, this is not hairy fairy stuff, this is the truth. When we focus on stuff that's wrong and we focus on all the things that are bad in our lives, then we bring those to the surface and that's what we concentrate on. Conversely, if we focus on the opportunity and we focus on what's good and what we can change and what we can improve, then those answers will come to us. This is a brilliant time for personal development. In my coaching, I've helped so many people over the last couple of months think about where they are now and helping them build new projects for the future. And we all need that. You know, when you look at sports people, they don't do it on their own. They've got a team around them. They've got nutritionists, they've got physios, they've got coaches. They've got all sorts of people around them helping them. And I think what we're finding now is a lot more people are getting good people around them to help them. And James, you know, James does this for a living as well as myself. But James, you know, he's helping a lot of people and a lot of teams. And I think people realize that they need to talk and they need to talk to people around them that can help them.
What kind of reaction have you had, James, from the people you've spoken to since lockdown began?
Yeah, it's really interesting. In fact, before I answer your question, Phil, I'm going to just tell you a quick story. So this is a few years ago now. We were out for drinks with friends, and husband and wife and my wife and I, and the wives are chatting about their stuff and the blokes having a chat. And I said to my friend, John, how's work? And he said to me, oh, it's a nightmare. And he used worse language than this, but he said, oh, it's a nightmare. My boss is a right cow. Now, you're down the pub with your mate. What's your typical answer to that? And you go, you know, typical answer to that would be, probably a polite typical answer would be, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, what are you going to do about it? And then John would say, well, I'm going to have to get a new job, aren't I? Oh, where are you going to go and work? Here. And you would skitter along the surface of that issue, getting to the point where John is now telling you where he wants to go and work. And that's fine. Like Graham's just outlined, like I said before, like you know, Phil, because you're in this field as well, it's really important to not skitter along the surface and get into the depths of what's going on for the individual you're talking to. So whether that's your business owner and you're talking to a coach, whether it's your manager talking to a team member, understand what's going on below the surface. So here's how the conversation actually went. John says, oh, work's a nightmare, boss is a right cow. And my question back was, well, it's not typically a question, but it's a way to encourage more conversation. I said back to him, I'm sorry to hear that. Tell me more. And John's response was, well, what's happening is blah, 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 blah. And he was able to open up. Now, just that process of opening up was cathartic for him, made him feel better. And then rather than then talking about myself, which is what a lot of conversations do, we talk about them, then we talk about ourselves and so on. In this instance, when we are showing empathy, when we're listening, when we're understanding what's going on for people, so that we can spot the opportunities, so that we can help them move forward, it's important to listen further. How do you do that? Well, you can ask another question and get them to find out more. You can help with the flow of that conversation. And in this instance, I simply said to John, okay, and what else could be going on for you at work that's causing you to feel quite upset? Or quite challenged, quite negative, whatever the word was I used. Anyway, this conversation went on for about 10 minutes or so, and it got to the point where there was a light bulb for John, and he said, my God, I've just realized it's not my manager who's causing me to feel so frustrated with what I'm doing at work. He said, it's my dad. And I said, what do you mean it's your dad? Now, his dad had died a couple of years previously, very suddenly, and John and him were very close, and John hadn't got past it. And he said, it's my dad. He said, when my dad was alive, I really wanted to make him proud of what I was achieving in my career. And now he's gone. I don't feel I can do that. I feel like I'm stuck in this dead-end job. That's what's causing me to feel so frustrated. Now, it took one person, me, 10, 15 minutes or so of focusing entirely on that other person, asking just some insightful questions because I was interested in what was going on and probing further to help John understand exactly what it was. And what that resulted in and the value from that conversation was it didn't mean John went and got another job doing the same thing that he got frustrated with. What he actually did was he left his job 3 months later, set up his own business in property. And of course, he's now doing extremely well. But the point is, if you asked him, if he was here on this podcast now and you said, John, how did that conversation change your life? He'd say, well, I'm now able to look up into the sky and say to my dad, look, I'm achieving. And for him, it was simply because someone took the time to stop, ask questions, listen, focus on him, what his anxieties, what his frustrations were, help him recognize what was going on, the real reality for him, and then help him move forward to what the right next steps were. And for him, that identified what his opportunity was, start his new business. It's what Graham was talking about. What's the opportunity here for people and how can we help them achieve that?
And I think that is the best possible way to look at everything that's going on at the moment, rather than dwell on all that's bad about it to people who say, and again, I know this is so easy for me to say this because I'm still working and I'm actually working probably more now than I was before the whole lockdown thing even started. But I think that if people were to look at it and say, look, this is a golden opportunity for me to change the direction of my life when I wanted to change it and I didn't even possibly realize it needed to change direction. Find out what means something to you whilst people have got that opportunity to stay still, to actually step back and reflect on the life that was, and maybe look forward to the life that they actually want to create instead and start making it happen. Because I'm a great believer in it's never too late. And you know, my father, who is a computer technician by trade, started off life as an accountant. And he decided in his late 40s, early 50s, that's it, I've had enough and I'm changing career. And he became a computer technician and at that age. So to me, it's never too late to do something you really want to do. But now we've actually got a golden opportunity to make it happen.
You know, I love these conversations. My wife said to me the other day, so did you ever think about a silver lining? And that's all she said. And it just sort of resonated with me. There is a silver lining, but where the biggest opportunities come, they come from the negative. They come from the crisis. They come from the problems. There's an old saying, I don't know who said it, but problems and progress go hand in hand. It's where we find the opportunities. You know, this is a huge one, this coronavirus, but in life, if you ever look back at your life and you look at back at the times when things were really tough, sometimes they had to get really tough in order for you to be pushed into making a decision that was good for yourself. One of the things I've always done is whenever things are going wrong or going badly, yeah, I like to spend a bit of time moaning and getting angry because I'm human and that's what I do. And then when I got past that, I say to myself, okay, how can I turn this into an opportunity? Now, when you say that to yourself, it's quite a difficult question to ask when things are going wrong. But if you ask yourself that question, you start looking and focusing on what's good and how you can benefit from it and how you can help others. There's a lot of good that's going to come out of this. There's been a lot of bad. We all know that. But there's going to be a lot of good that has come out of this. And I think what we need to do is focus on ourselves and focus on the future and focus on what we want. One of the things that I stand by is you need to focus on what you love. Love is the biggest truth in the world, and passion. There's no rules when it comes to love and passion. Don't focus on the money. The money will come. The money will be created. Believe me, there's been times in my life I've had absolutely nothing, no money whatsoever, but I've always focused on what I love lately. If you can do that, money's created. You can enjoy the journey. And I think a lot of people hopefully will start to make that decision. But like James says, they need to talk about it. And if they can't talk about it with their husbands or their wives or their closest friends or their business partners, then they should get a confidant. They should get someone that will just listen and have some time where it's just all about them. And they can talk all about themselves without feeling guilty. That's the most beautiful and valuable time that someone can spend.
It may well be, but unfortunately, what you say there sounds very easy in theory, but sadly, persuading someone who doesn't necessarily know how to talk about themselves and to recognize what might be causing them some sort of distress or anxiety in their life, it's quite hard to change that. But all I would say is that those who think positively and those who do find that silver lining that your wife was speaking about are frequently found to be happier people. And that's not a coincidence, because if you do look for the good that life throws at you, then ultimately you are going to feel better for it, because then you're going to think, well, this has happened for a reason, rather than, oh, woe is me, why does this happen to me? And again, I know it's very, very easy to say that, but I can't tell you how much it makes a difference. I see people on both sides of the spectrum working in mental health and wellbeing radio. I speak to people from opposite ends of the poles, and make no mistake, there is very little doubt in my mind, those who have the ability to think positively and to behave positively, more importantly, really do lead more fulfilling and happier lives as a result of it. So, James, I was wondering, based on what you do in managerial support, I reckon there's got to be some sort of tie between this thinking positively and getting the most out of your team.
There is. As a manager, of course, you need to walk the walk, as it were. That's really important to ensure that you're modeling the right sort of behaviors. And I think it all starts with, you know, you've shown the empathy to get the understanding and to try and understand what's going on with your team. But your team won't open up to you unless you have the trust and the relationship there. A lot of businesses, when they performance manage their staff, look for tangible results to enable them to quantify the performance of their team members. And traditionally, and I'm talking, you know, decades ago, that was good enough to be able to say, you, staff member A, are performing well, and you, staff member B, aren't. And of course, we still have that within business today. But there's a much bigger picture now, which is not just about quantifiable results, but if the person is happy at work, and if they are contributing positively within the team, those kind of aspects also become really important. They're resilient. They are ambitious. They have the right attitude. So how do you as a manager understand what's going on with your team? Listen, observe, feedback, and do that on a regular basis. So a lot of businesses in turn are set up to have monthly performance review conversations. And so a manager sits away, particularly if the team is now remote and continues to be remote and working virtually, the manager is quite distant, sits away, still looks at those quantifiable results to say, are you or aren't you performing? And then at the end of the month, perhaps sits down and says, well, here's the results of what I've seen you doing, quantifiable, 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 well done, or do better. Moving forward, managers now need to understand how to have those conversations, which understand how you're feeling. What have you been doing outside work to build the relationship with the team member? And this is on an ongoing, perhaps even daily basis, if people are working remotely, where the focus isn't just on work, but on the relationship, so that then when you do have those monthly catch-ups, the team member is more inclined to open up and talk about their fears or talk about what opportunities they see might be available to them and are willing to open up to the manager. I look at that in sort of a pyramid form. So if the top of the pyramid is your daily conversation, and it's the top of the pyramid because it takes the least amount of time, then you do those conversations on a daily basis. Weekly, you can then talk about any quantifiable results and what's coming up for the week and whether there's any support needed. And then on a monthly basis, as the pyramid becomes fatter towards the bottom, the time taken in these meetings is longer. That's why the pyramid opens out. Now on a monthly basis, you can start to be talking about, or not focusing on what's been going on during the month, because that's happened on a weekly basis, but you now have opened up the time to be able to talk about those broader things, the quality of work done, the behaviour shown when the work was being done, the attitude of the individual, the hopes, the fears, the opportunities, the career ambitions. And now on a monthly basis, you're having so much more of a fulfilling conversation and therefore fulfilling relationship with your team member.
Do you know what? I reckon that that's a really positive way to end it. I'd say that the only thing I would finish on myself is just say, I think that as long as people recognize this is, I think we've mentioned it before, a golden opportunity, let's look at whatever the worst case scenario is from all of this outbreak of COVID-19, however it affects us, let's look forwards and think, how can we come back from it and work towards, more importantly, coming back from it? Don't just think it, do it. Because I really believe now is the time for us to begin the dawn of a new era, personally. And that might sound a bit philosophical. It might sound a bit, well, frankly, it might sound a bit enthusiastic, but I wholeheartedly believe it. And I really, really think that this is going to change humanity for the better, and certainly the business world for the better. We live in hope anyway. Gents, if people want more information and want to get in touch with you, where do they go? Graham, how do people get in touch with you?
You can email me gg@passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk or look at my website, passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk.
And James, if they want more information on you?
Yeah, similar. So email is james@cxpeople.co.uk and the website is cxpeople.co.uk. Be good to hear from you.
And if for whatever reason people want to get in touch with me, Twitter is probably the best way of doing that, or any sort of social media, at Mr. Phil Dave, and it's Phil with one L. Gents, it's a pleasure, as always. For those listening, don't forget that if you want to listen to this episode or any previous episode of Passionate About People, make sure you subscribe to us in your podcast application. But from James Rose, from Graham Godfrey, and from myself, Phil Dave, thanks very much for listening, and until next time, goodbye.